One of the things that I tell my audience, I don't tell them this all the time, and I hope this comes across even when I don't tell them, is I think that the experience, if we look at the success of the good, the true, and the beautiful, that was the Ages of Faith, and the majestic, the magnificent, all the goodness and beauty that came out of the Ages of Faith. This is because men and women didn't have to go out of their way to say the following: I am a Catholic first and a sculptor second. They just were. I am a Catholic first and a butcher second. They just were, and everybody knew it. You lived the faith. And not everyone was St. Francis of Assisi or St. Benedict, certainly, and there were heretics and schismatics and sinners, certainly. But even among them, they were heretics precisely because people knew what the faith was, Michael. And they could be identified immediately, right?
Sure.
Where's that today?
If I'm standing at a Notre Dame game and we're playing Southern Cal, and I'm up in the stands, I know the guy next to me, whether he's a Notre Dame fan or a Southern Cal fan.
Right.
I don't look at him and wonder. I know, because he's got a jersey on, he cheers him at inappropriate times if he's a Southern Cal fan.
Right, right, right.
I mean, these are the things that happen. And today, again, you know, because in the football stands analogy there, there is an understanding that, you know, there is such a thing as you cheering for the wrong team and me cheering for the right team, because we have a clear understanding of what that is. Now, there is no clear understanding. I mean, there was a poll taken in 1994 when Pope John Paul came to the United States. Maybe it was 87 when he was here, 88. He came to the United States, and they took a poll, and there was some dramatic number of, like, 78%, 82%, something like that, close to 4 out of 5 Catholics who said, I can reject the church's teachings and still be a good Catholic. Okay, problem. You don't define Catholic. See, the definition again, we're always back to definitions, the meanings of words. Well, what do you think a Catholic is? A Catholic is one who accepts the Catholic faith. So and is baptized in the faith. Let's put those two notions together. Hi, I am a Catholic who accepts the Catholic faith, who rejects the Catholic faith. Okay, what on earth, what in Hades does that statement mean? Well, it doesn't have to mean anything, because the whole sense of the world is just, how do you feel?
Right.
How do you feel? You know, there's no thought, there's no intellect, it's all gone. And, you know, if it's interesting, if you've ever worked around, on a consistent basis around sort of younger people, and I don't want to slam millennials because, you know, many of them are very hardworking and all that, but there is kind of broad agreement on the part of folks who are, you know, of an older generation, say, you know, not necessarily baby boomer, but something, you know, over 40.
Okay.
There is kind of broad agreement, 40, 45, there's broad agreement that this next generation kind of moving into entry level and sort of, you know, lower middle management positions, that they can't think. they simply have been deprived. It's not their fault. They're not born stupid.
No.
They just have, they have fallen victim without even realizing it to a mentality in the world that has obliterated right and wrong, winning and losing. Here's your participation trophy. You know, what's important is that you feel good, not whether what you're feeling good about relates to an objective truth or not. I mean, you know, should I raise my child to be the best bank robber in the world so that he feels good about himself? I mean, there's no sense of reality. There's no sense of the ability to think critically, to arrive at something that is an answer, because an answer, you know, underpins the notion that there is a right answer and there is a wrong answer.
That's right.
And that goes straight to the heart again of objective truth, objective reality. And I mean, imagine you are encouraging. It is the case that there are young people by the thousands and thousands being encouraged to believe that what's in their head about their sex actually isn't true. That what's in their head about their sex is, if they want to, I'm sorry, is true, even though it contradicts their biology. And you're like, wow, this is a massive problem. And all these things we see, abortion, contraception, transgenderism, divorce, remarriage, we keep going on. They're all symptoms of this thing, of this root problem. You know, many of the saints that go through, you have written down, you know, various steps for spiritual direction and all of that, they will say that many people become frustrated as they try to sort of clear out sin from their life, because they find themselves committing the same sin. I mean, the joke among Catholics is, I go back to confession, I'm telling the same thing again, week after week, or every 2 weeks, or whatever. You know, I'm always telling the same thing. Well, yeah, you're telling the same thing, because all you're doing is just attacking the leaves on the tree, not attacking the root.
Right, right,
and
right.
And one of those seven capital sins, perhaps the second one, are the root, and that's what's got to be torn out of the soul. That particular appetite for that sin, you know, pride, lust, gluttony, anger, whatever. And well, that's the same thing here. You know, you have all of the, you know, and you know they do good work. I mean, folks are doing good work in trying to, the pro-life people trying to, different movements and groups that are trying to, you know, change this law and change that law and, you know, get this guy on the Supreme Court and they said overturn Roe. I mean, but the love for abortion that this country has does not begin with a love for abortion. That's a symptom of the much deeper problem of love of self, that the world needs to revolve around me, that, you know, so much so that someone else can die because they are inconvenient to me. That is the problem, and this is a multi-generational fix. Look, we can pass laws, and, you know, let's imagine Gorsuch gets on the court. The next day, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is finally declared dead. And
finally, right.
Finally. And you know, Trump puts on, you know, like another Scalia, and then you got a 5-4 vote, and they overturn Roe v. Wade next month. Do we really think abortion is going to stop in America? No, I absolutely think that should happen. I'm not saying don't do it. But, you know, what's the practical effect of that going to be? The practical effect is in the great, big, huge, major areas, you're going to have the same, you're going to have, like, sanctuary cities issue, again, just written for abortion. And there's a big explosion, and, you know, maybe it wouldn't come to a violent civil war, but it would certainly come to a political civil war over all of this. And why? Because, as Justice... I think it was Breyer wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Breyer. In Casey.
I don't think Breyer would have been on the court in Casey, was he?
No, I was going to say it wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't on the court. And I can't think of his name. The justice who wrote, he said, you know, we must leave abortion in place because it has become a backup for failed contraception for people who have planned their lives around the ability to procure contraception.
Oh, that sounds like something Kennedy would write.
No, it wasn't Kennedy. I can't remember who it was.
Was Blackmun still alive then? Because he'd be another suspect that could have.
I think he was off the court then. But anyway, but the point of that is that, you know, whoever wrote it, that's the mindset that, you know, I have organized my life around the ability to have contraception. Well, pump the brakes right there. See, abortion becomes a symptom of a contraceptive mentality, which is in itself a symptom of something much greater. And the much greater is that, that why did the contraceptive mentality take off? This is the problem with huge numbers of Protestants, even ones who are very committed to the pro-life cause. You know, you are never going to get rid of abortion until you get rid of contraception. And you're never going to get rid of contraception as long as you have the mentality that sex is for pleasure. As long as you say, not that it's not pleasurable, that's not the point, but that is not its primary end, to just go have fun. And, oh, my gosh, the kids, how did this happen? Were you not on the pill? Did the condom break? Well, kill the kid. But of course that's going to be the reaction. So, and is the case. What is it? What was it? Guttmacher, I think, that released statistics at the end of 2015, I think it was, that said 50% of the abortions come from failed contraception.
Failed contraception, right.
Yeah, so, well, of course.
Well, Guttmacher also reveals a shocking statistic that 58% of Roman Catholics say that abortion should be legal in some instances. That's outright heresy there, right there. You are not a Catholic. Don't call yourself one.
That's right. You are a Catholic in theological terms because you're baptized, and once Catholic, always Catholic.
That's right.
A priest, always a priest. But you are no longer in the faith.
You're not in a church militant, certainly.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, again, you know, for some listeners who may not, you know, quite get the, well, what's excommunication and what, you know, how does that all mean? Well, it's the equivalent of saying that, yes, you were born in America. Let's say you were born in Omaha. Mm-hmm. But then at some point you go and, you know, you go join some ISIS cell somewhere and you come back to the States and start blowing things up and you are now a traitor. So is it a historical fact that you were an American, that you were born in America? Yes, that history cannot be erased. Here's where you first popped into the world visibly. Nothing can alter that. However, the rights and duties accorded you because of that are now removed from you because you're a traitor, treason. You are going to be executed for treason. So, yeah, so are there Catholics in hell? Sure, but they're not in hell for being good Catholics. They're in hell for being bad Catholics. And the idea that people just simply don't want to subscribe to the reality. I mean, you know, the young kid who thinks, oh, you know, I'm a boy. I have boy parts, but I feel like I'm a girl. So I'm a girl. Okay, well, how is that different in substance from a Catholic who says, look, I'm a Catholic, but I have heretic parts. But so, you know, I still feel like I'm a Catholic.
Heretic, well, parts.
But you're not.
A little heretic parts. Now, one of the things that I hear from our little conversation here, Michael, and I share this with everyone, and I know my friend David Simpson is listening, and he and I have been through the Philosophia Perennis course from St. Augustine Institute together, and I'm still studying St. Thomas Aquinas. And just strikes me as I listen to you talk, and as I've listened to my friend, Brother Andre Marie talk, and if I talk to Brother Alexis Bugnolo, or I talk to people that take their Catholicity very seriously, there is a congruency in the way we think. And that's, I don't think that that's accidental. You and I as my philosophy teacher, Brother Francis, says, and you've alluded to this today, when I say tree, it does not matter what kind of tree it is. By its nature, I know it's a tree. It does not matter if it's palm, a pine, or whatever. Same way, when I say Catholic, and I meet one like you, my brain, my truth-seeking intellect is screaming, that's Catholicity there. I don't need to analyze it. It just automatically identifies it, and it says, yes, that's correct. Yes, we're on the same page. That's what's missing, and you've been alluding to it. You've been so generous with your time. You've been alluding to it the whole time. That universality is what is missing in the modern world, and it was ripped away with the Protestant revolt.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, every religion, every ism, you know, really can be summed up in one phrase or one summary statement. The summary statement of Catholicism is, adherence to the belief that the Catholic Church is Jesus Christ on earth, and our salvation is attainable only through it, through faithful participation in the sacraments, most especially the Blessed Sacrament. Period. That's it. Everything else falls from that. Well, the definition of Protestantism is a rejection of authority.
That's right.
That's it.
And that's so, what we, and we appeal to our St. Francis de Sales said this, because he was hectored and harangued, and some of his fellow brothers and even some of the bishops that knew of his actions tried to get him excommunicated or kicked out of his order, because they said, hey, man, you can't walk around and do what you do and fraternize with Protestants. And one of St. Francis de Sales' responses is, look, we are theological brethren by baptism. I most certainly can. As a matter of fact, I have a duty to. But he never stopped trying to convert them. And it took 20 years.
Yeah, he spent years living in a forest, sneaking into the town at night, slipping little notes, little tracts, underneath the doors of former Catholics who had become Calvinists at the time, of the mid-1500s, mid to late 1500s in Switzerland. And he slept in the forest in the middle of the winter, the whole bit. He had no shoes on. There were severe winters, and you could see his blood, his bloody feet, the blood from his feet in the snow, back and forth. He would tie himself up to trees in the forest to sleep at night so the animals couldn't get to him. He did that for years, and the writing down, his everybody rejected him except his cousin, who went into the forest with him for a couple of years, and then and nobody was converting back. And even his cousin said, this is over, you know, and he left him. So St. Francis de Sales is there in the forest, coming out of the forest at night, you know, and that's what he did. And, you know, because of that, he's the patron saint of journalists, I'm happy to note, as a journalist. But he is, you know, it takes that kind of dedication, that kind of persistence, that kind of just pounding the drum nonstop, you know, and I don't want to say he wasn't concerned about their feelings, but he wasn't primarily concerned about their feelings. He was concerned about their ability to recognize the truth and the reality of it. At the end of the day, that town of 30,000 people came back to the faith.
It sure did. And just a note on this. So from the Council of Trent, you get extra ecclesiam nulla salus, which is outside church there is no salvation. I asked a priest one time, I asked my Father Jeff, I said, Father, did that phrase exist, or that attitude, or that that teaching exist prior to the council? And he goes, oh, certainly. He said, this goes back all the way back to the first heresies, to the Arian heresy. And he goes, what do you think they were stating at those early councils? Exactly that. And that's why you do what you do. That's why I try and do what I do. And that's why I lament that Sean Hannity doesn't try and do what you and I are doing, because he could have great impact. He is a Catholic, after all.
Yeah, and he's one of the Catholics who accepts contraception.
It wasn't you that were on. I think I saw it on your site, though. There was a priest that was on his show with him and confronted him and said, right, exactly. And he basically yelled at the priest. And, you know, and they, again, a rejection of authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is it. You know, you either accept the, because at least I don't think there are many people walking around who think consciously, I am the authority. They don't think that consciously. So you accept somebody's authority. You know, unless you go have a paternity test done, you accept the authority, the testimony, the witness of your parents that they're actually your parents. You don't know that unless you go have a paternity test done. And, you know, 100 years ago, everybody had to accept it because there's no such thing as a paternity test.
That's right.
Two older people stood in front of you and said, hello, I'm your mommy and I'm your daddy, then you just believed it. You accepted the authority of what they told you based on their authority. You know, that's one of the problems with all this constant breakdown in trust in the government. It feeds this notion that authority can't be trusted. Well, some authority can be trusted, but it can't be abused. And, you know, there's a reason why you say, so help me God, when you take an oath as a police officer or a judge or a politician or the president, or you're about to give, you know, testimony in court. You know, it's the way we sort of the cadence of that phrase, so help me God, we really need to put a comma after the word so. You know, you're testifying or whatever, you're blah, 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 blah. So help me, God. Help me to do the right thing, to say the right thing here, to give the right testimony or to fulfill the oath I have just taken, because what I have just done is commit my soul, you know, I've put my soul in peril here, that I will do the right thing by virtue of this oath that I have taken. And by right, we mean the right, moral, objectively true, good thing to do. And because of that, you're going to need the help of God. So you ask for it. But there's so many people who just, you know, there's no authority. You're your own authority. You don't think that necessarily. But if it's pointed out to you, it's like, oh, so, you know, I was reading the scripture, and the Holy Spirit put on my heart, blah, blah, blah. The Holy Spirit put on your heart that divorce is okay?
Sure, it did.
It's funny, because the Holy Spirit put on my heart that it's not. So who's right here? We have to appeal to an authority. Well, who's the authority? For Catholics, the authority is the Church. 2,000 years of magisterial teaching. For anyone who is not a good Catholic, the authority ultimately boils down to just them. And, you know, well, you better be darn right.
You better be.
You better be, because your eternal life depends on it.